Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymere Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymere.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at Graymere Church of Christ.
This morning's passage comes from Hebrews chapter 11, Faith in Action. Now, faith is confidence in what we see or what we hope for assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command with what is seen was not made without what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God to a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him.
You may have noticed the new banners on either side here that Chad always does an awesome job putting together, reminding us that our theme for the year is going to have to do with faith. Simply put, we're thinking about what it means to live by faith. And so we'll have several verses that will help us keep that in mind. But this one is one that Jason just read for us, and we're going to be using this month. And I'd like for us to say it together. If you would, say it with me. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. Faith is a concept that is at once both simple and profound. We know what faith is, in one sense, but we also want to have a deeper understanding of what faith is, of what it means to allow our faith to grow. And so this year, we're going to be spending time walking through Hebrews 11. Now, it may sound strange to say it takes a whole year to look at one chapter of Scripture, and we're going to be looking at many other things, but we're going to allow this Hebrews 11 passage to sort of set our template for what we're going to focus on. When you read through the verses in Hebrews 11, we just read the first few, it's almost like you're walking through a museum. And you're looking at displays all around you of people who lived faithful lives. And were constantly being pointed to what they did and how their faith was involved in how they lived. And this year, especially, we're always wanting to grow our faith. But this year, we want to focus on specific ways that we can do that. And so we're going to allow this Hall of Faith passage to set the template for the story of God's people. We'll begin next week with creation, and we'll go through each of the things that are mentioned in Hebrews 11, even going in depth into some of the things that when you get later in the chapter, the author says, we don't even have time to talk about this, this, and this. We're going to talk about some of those individuals from Scripture. And now, we will have a little bit of overlap at the beginning. We spent some time in Genesis last year, and so we'll overlap some of these, but I think we'll also get a sense of the story of God's people in the Old Testament. And each Sunday, as we do this, we're not only going to be looking at the Old Testament passage that deals with what's happening, but we're going to see the way Jesus is connected to that story. It's important for us, as we read through the Old Testament, to see that it's pointing towards something. And so I hope that as we go through this, it's our prayer that our faith will continue to grow. And as I was thinking about this process, I was reminded of a movie that has become one of my favorites over the years. It's been out a long time now, but Mr. Holland's Opus tells the story of a teacher, starring Richard Dreyfuss, who is a reluctant teacher. He'd like to be a composer. He'd like to be a musician and a songwriter, but he takes the job of teaching high school music to sort of pay the bills while he's trying to pursue his dream. And so he deals with a lot of the frustrations that may be familiar to those of you who teach or have taught, and it sort of charts his career through the years. And there's one scene in the mid-1960s when he has a class of high school students in music appreciation, and it becomes very apparent they're not connecting with what he's trying to teach. And so he comes in after a few months of teaching, and he starts to play a song on the piano. And it's a song that was made popular by the group The Toys in the mid-60s. And so as he plays it, they begin to perk up, and they say, "Oh, we know that." And he said, "Who wrote it?" And they said, "Oh, The Toys. This is a song that we listen to." And he said, "No, that's wrong." And then he plays the Minuet in G by Bach. What he's showing them is the fact that this popular song that they listen to actually has its roots in a classical piece that was composed centuries earlier. What he's illustrating there is they had been studying what they thought were historical artifacts, old pieces that didn't really have any relevance to what they listen to today. And so what he did is what any teacher would try to do, which is connect what they like today, the kind of music they're listening to, with this classical piece. And so this year, as we talk about faith, it's my hope that we can realize these are not just old museum exhibits of people who lived so long ago that their lives don't really have any bearing on ours. These are people who are playing the same tune that we're playing as we seek to follow God. Have you ever been overwhelmed by a major transition, a life change where you've changed jobs or you've moved houses and you're in a new place, in a new environment, and didn't know what was going to happen next? Well, Abraham understands that. Have you ever dealt with a seemingly overwhelming issue where it just seemed like you were completely outnumbered? Elijah knows what that's like. Have you ever had to suffer because you chose to do what was right, even though it would have been a lot easier to stay in the situation you were in? Well, Moses understands that. Have you dealt with personal failure? A time when you've done something you know was wrong, and you've had to pay the price? Well, Samson understands that. Have you ever grieved at the loss of someone you love? David knows what that's like. You see, as we go through this Hall of Fame chapter, these are threads that run all the way to our life today. And our goal this year, and several of the things we're going to be doing and talking about, is seeing how those things connect with where we live today. For a few minutes, I'd like for us to think about what we read in verse 6. As we get to, essentially, a definition for how faith functions in our lives. What is it that Christians need faith for? If we know that we've got to have faith to please God, what is it that faith does for us? And so you can see that this is the kind of faith these people in Hebrews 11 used to gain approval. But notice what is necessary in verse 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. I've got to have it if I'm going to have the right relationship with God. Okay, well, what do I need to have? He who comes to God must believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those who seek Him. It's a twofold description of what faith is. If I want to live by faith, first of all, I have to believe that God exists. It's interesting to read discussions about philosophy or to read discussions about, you know, moral situations where we have to choose what's right and what's wrong. They all eventually come back to what we believe about God. It's at the core of who we are. And you might say, okay, I realize it's the beginning of a new year, but this seems like a pretty basic thing to believe that God exists. And yet, we're living in a time when that belief would not be something that's held by a lot of people in our community and in our world. And so we've got to reflect on, why do we believe that God exists? If someone asked me why I believe God exists, would I know what to say? It's interesting to me to think back to what happens when Moses has this conversation with God through the burning bush. And God has given him a directive. He's told him to go to Egypt to deliver his people. And Moses is nervous. And he says, who would I say sent me? Who am I supposed to tell them? They ask, who sent you? What should I say? And that's when God gives that description that also is that covenant name. I am. Literally, it's kind of like, I am that I am. I exist. God is the only being in the world where there has never been a time that He could say, I exist, and it be untrue. He's always existed. We can say we exist now. I can say I am, but there was a time when I wasn't. There was a time before when I didn't live. God, that's never been true for God. He's always existed. I've got to understand that and believe that. And there are going to be times when, if I'm holding on to that belief in God's existence, that I'm going to face some real challenges. One of the individuals in Hebrews 11 we talk about is Noah. It mattered that Noah believed who God was, even when the task he was given seemed out of step with what everyone else was doing. It mattered when Abraham was called to move somewhere else, to live somewhere else, that he believed God was. It made a difference. And by the way, people are also supposed to know that God exists through us. I like the fact that Jesus in John 13, 35 said, by this all men will know you were my disciples. How would they know that? If you have love for one another. I need to believe that God exists, but I also need to display God's existence by the way I treat other people. I enjoy reading about apologetics and some of the discussions about Christian evidences. I think that's powerful. I think it's great. We need to learn more about those things. But I can have the most rock-solid arguments that reasons out everything for the existence of God, but if people don't see love, they're not going to believe that God's really there. I might be able to reason it out. I might be able to tell them, okay, well, this, you've got to understand this and this and this. But if they don't see love, if they don't see a changed life, they're not going to trust the message I'm giving them. They'll know God is there. They'll know we belong to God by our love. So if I want to grow in my faith, I need to understand why God exists in a mental and intellectual level, but I need to live out that existence by the way that I love other people. So by faith we believe that God exists, but we also believe that we need to seek Him because He rewards those who seek Him. This means that my motivations might be different than those around me. A pretty good way to figure out what I value is by asking myself, what motivates me? What is it that I'm really after? What is it that I really want? Because chances are, the thing that gets me out of bed in the morning, the thing that keeps me going, is what my real motivation is indicating. And notice the motivation of these people in Hebrews chapter 11. If we go over to verse 13, we see this description that all these who were described died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking about that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But notice their motivation in verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. We spend a lot of time thinking about issues in this life, but if you'll notice, the Hebrews author says the reason they were able to sustain the challenges they faced is because they were looking for something better. They were looking for a better country, for a better home. We just spent several weeks at the end of 2018 looking through the book of Revelation. And there's a lot of interesting stuff in there. But the promises at the end, the description of a heavenly vision that is far beyond the ability of human words to even capture, should compel us. It should force us to think, what am I living for? What's motivating me? I like what Eugene Peterson wrote about the way we think about heaven sometimes. Sometimes we have kind of an understated view of heaven, that maybe it'll just be like a better version of one of our favorite places here on earth. Eugene Peterson wrote, many people want to go to heaven the way they want to go to Florida. They think the weather will be an improvement and the people decent. In other words, it's just going to be a little bit of an upgrade over what we have here. But that's not the vision we see in Scripture. That's not the country these people were looking for. They weren't just looking for a better version of a vacation spot. They were looking for the presence of God. They were seeking Him. If I'm seeking Him and I'm seeking His presence, that's going to change the way I live. If I look around at my life and I see that I'm making different choices than others around me, it's because I'm seeking Him. If my values seem different than the values of people who don't believe in God, well, it shouldn't surprise me because I'm seeking Him. I believe that not only that He is, I need to know that He is. I need to have that faith. But that faith, it doesn't consist of just knowledge. It consists of seeking after Him, of taking action on that knowledge. As we grow our faith, that's the way to do it. And that's what we want to focus on this year, every day of our lives. In order to live out our faith, we're going to have to take certain steps. We're going to have to follow after Him. And so we've spent some time together thinking about what Hebrews 11 tells us about faith. And it's the first Sunday of the new year. And so I thought it would be good for us just to look at some ways this year that we can accomplish that. You know, every year we try to think of some ways that we can reach out to others, ways that we can encourage spiritual growth, maybe new things that we haven't tried before. And so I wanted to share some of those with you as well. When it comes to faith, as a church family, we're like one big physical family. And you can probably think about times in your life, in your physical family, where you learned about things, even when you were younger, because you were listening to adults talking. We overhear a lot of wisdom sometimes. I can remember hearing conversations that my parents were having at the dinner table, and I didn't understand what they were talking about, and now that I'm an adult, I get it a little more. But it was helpful to have heard that. When we come together as a church family, there'll be times in a sermon or a Bible class where we're talking about something and we might think, you know, that doesn't really apply to me. I mean, that doesn't really sort of hit me where I live. But we're going to learn by overhearing what's being said to someone else. Well, if we know that our knowledge of God and His existence is key for our faith, we want to think about ways that every group can be sure they're learning about that. And so one of the things we're going to do this year, every month, the last Sunday night of the month, we're going to have a special focus for our sermon that night. That last Sunday night of the month is when we'll have our Bible connection and Bible drill. We'll all be together. And we're going to be talking about some things that specifically relate to our teens and to our families. Now, it's not that the rest of us can't learn from that, but it's a good chance for us to focus on some of our younger people who listen a lot and learn a lot by overhearing sermon illustrations that may focus on the lives of their parents or the lives of those who are at a different stage in life. But we want to focus on what we can do to equip them to learn and to grow. A couple of Wednesday nights ago, I spent time in our teen class and just asked them what some things were that were challenges for them that they would want to hear about in a sermon, in a lesson that they think we need to focus on. I was struck by, number one, their openness to share what's going on in their lives, by their maturity, by the spiritual questions they're asking. They're asking great questions. And so we want to take at least one Sunday night to really focus every month on that. Sometimes that might mean bringing in a guest speaker to focus on a certain topic. Sometimes that might mean that we have more than one speaker addressing an issue from a different area. We might do some things that will be special tailored to that topic, but we want to help them grow. In fact, in February, next month, as we get ready for February 25th, which is our annual preaching workshop, on the 24th, Harold Redd is going to be with us. Harold Redd has preached for years in Memphis, multiple congregations there. He's done an awesome job in not only reaching out to a diverse community, but also in helping us bridge the gaps between those with whom we might come from different backgrounds and different walks of life. And so he's going to be our guest speaker on that night, the last Sunday night in February. We're calling these our Building Faith Nights. And so when we talk about Building Faith Nights, we're thinking about that last Sunday night in February. We want you to be part of it. In fact, to know that God exists and to know who He is, one of the best things we can do is to spend time in His Word. And I know at the beginning of the year, we're thinking about how can we learn more about God's Word. But let me tell you that right now, we have a really neat opportunity. Because as you're here Sunday morning, so you've already got perfect Sunday morning attendance for the year 2019. You're one for one. So all we have to do, come back tonight, you'll have been here every Sunday night in 2019. We can just keep going. Just start this fresh start focusing on spending time with God's people and learning. We want to grow together. We want to grow in knowledge. And so we're going to be finding some different ways to do that and trying to make things that are a little more accessible to us. This summer, our summer series is going to be focused on our faith in real life, living by faith. And we'll have some guest speakers come in, but we'll also have members of this congregation participate. And one of the things we're going to do is focus on how do we live out our faith in different occupations. We've got a wide variety of occupations that are represented right here. And so all year we want to think about how do I make my faith real in my everyday life? How do I do that? How do I live it out? It's important that we know that God is. It's also important that we seek after Him. And there are some ways that we have opportunities to do that that I think are incredibly exciting. Last Sunday, Dennis Stephen presented the budget for us, and we looked at some of the areas that we're supporting, some new additions to that. It's really exciting to think about what's happening as we're allowing God to use our resources to reach others. And when we're giving every month, we're not just giving to meet a number or to see, let's put this on the board and look at just this as if it's an isolated figure. We're giving to ministry. We're giving to real things that are happening. In fact, one of the neat things that we're going to see this year is that Jonathan is putting together some slides that we can look at during our contribution that highlight one of the mission areas we support. So we can remind ourselves of what we're doing when we're giving. We're giving to a cause. We're giving to the Lord's work. We're seeking after Him, and we're encouraging others to seek after Him. We also have a lot of ways through technology we're able to equip and assist other people. You may not have noticed that on our website there are a lot of things available. A big audio, video archive. Rick Combs does an awesome job keeping that updated. He's even put some videos on YouTube to help us learn how to use the website and the app and to get everything we can out of it. Live streaming of our service. People could be watching right now. Usually every Sunday people are watching through live stream if they can't be here in person. There are a lot of benefits from that. But there's another tool that we're really excited about that has been the result of a series of conversations. Not too long ago, it's been, I guess, a couple of years now, but our elders challenged us in a meeting. They said, hey, have you ever thought about trying to put together an app that could help someone learn the plan of salvation, learn how to become a child of God? And so we mulled that over in our minds. And for years, my father, who preaches in Memphis, has used a series of questions that he's called a faith map. And there are questions that start from the very beginning, do I believe it's possible to know anything? And that end with, do I believe that it's possible for me to be involved in a maturing ministry? And so you can see here, we recruited Amelia Black, who was an intern here for a couple of summers, and she is an outstanding artist. So we recruited her to get some video footage, sort of illustrating what we're talking about. Chad Landman put his awesome video skills to use and recorded it and edited it. And what we have now is a website. If you go to faithmap.org, we found that a mobile website was easier and less expensive than building an entire app. But if you pull up faithmap.org, and I realize this is dangerous because I'm mentioning a website while you all have smartphones that you can look at. But I'm throwing it out there. But if you pull that up, it works. It looks best on a phone. You can see it on a computer screen, but it's designed for a phone. It leads you through those 8 questions with a brief video, kind of an explainer video that talks about that. There's also some text of scripture, some other questions for follow-up discussion. Here's how we can use that. Sometimes it's hard to come to a worship service and people say, you need to study the Bible with someone, and you leave thinking, I don't even know how to do that. I'm not comfortable with just coming up to someone at work and saying, hey, would you like to have a Bible study? You know, or inviting someone over to my house. I feel like I might be ambushing them a little bit, and I don't know how to bring that up. Ones of us have different personalities, but what I'd like for us to be able to do is to use this as a conversation starter. Because it might be hard to bring up the question, would you like to have a Bible study? But it might be easier to say, hey, have you seen this video? I mean, how many websites do we email each other about? Or how many times do we text each other a video that we think is funny or that we think is good? What if we did that with this? What if we said, hey, let's check out this first one. Tell me what you think, and then we'll talk about it. So maybe a way that you could do it is to tell someone about that and say, hey, I tell you what, why don't you watch that first video? Then we'll go out to lunch and talk about it. Then you could even pull your phone out when you're at lunch together. You could watch it together. Then you're both viewing this and you can comment about it. And maybe that takes a little bit of the pressure off. Maybe it's a little bit more of a way that feels maybe more approachable. And it's hopefully consistent with a lot of what we see online when we watch videos to explain things to us. And so we hope that this is a resource that can be used. It's faithmap.org. The idea is you walk people through where they are, because there are times you might be talking with someone about faith and they already believe that God exists. Well, you can start over here with that person. But if someone isn't sure about the existence of God, well, I could tell them about Bible verses, but if they don't believe in God, the Bible verses aren't going to help until they get to that belief. And so this resource tries to hit different individuals where they are. Can I challenge you this year? I challenge you to think of someone this morning that you know needs the gospel, wherever they are on that spectrum, whether you feel like they're close or whether you feel like, I don't think this person has ever desired to go to a worship service. Can I challenge us right now to think about that person in our mind? In this year, make it our mission. It won't happen overnight, very likely, but make it our mission to share God's word with that person. Maybe this is a tool you can use to do it with. Maybe you have another way that you're more comfortable with. I'm not as concerned about the tool that we use, but just that we do it. Just that we sit down with someone and we say, hey, faith is important to me. I want it to be important to you. And if we're doing that planting and watering, God will be with us to give the increase. We also have a great opportunity to reach out into our community around us. One of the things we've done is adopted the second grade at Joseph Brown Elementary. And you may have noticed the note in the bulletin last week that they had more volunteers this year, total as a school, than their original goal had set out. And several of those volunteers are members here. It's several Graymere members that have helped be part of that and are reaching families. Our End of the City ministry is helping us reach out to all kinds of families. We were able to have many of the parents of the 24 or 25 students we have every Wednesday night come and join us for a kind of an end-of-the-year celebration a couple of weeks ago. And as they did that, John David and the others that were working with that shared with them why we're doing this. Why are we teaching children? And one of the goals that that ministry has is to initiate more Bible studies with parents of these children, to see if we can continue to reach out. Now, this isn't the extent of what we're going to do this year, but these are just a few ways that we can make our faith a reality. By stepping out into faith. By doing things that might be uncomfortable for us. In fact, they probably will be. But if we believe that God is, and we know we need to seek Him, we're going to be following in His steps. As I was thinking this week about the beginning of our year, I was reminded of something. I was reminded of a poem that I guess I'd heard before, but that I hadn't really thought about in the context of starting a new year. One of my high school teachers posted a poem that Clarence Daly, who preached for years in Memphis and then in Middle Tennessee, would quote on the first of every year. It's got historical significance. It was quoted by King George in an address to the British people in 1939, as they were at war. It's a poem by Minnie Louise Haskins, and it is called The Gate of the Year. If you can imagine standing before a gate leading us into 2019. Here's how it goes. And I said to the man who stood at the gate of the year, give me a light that I may tread safely into the unknown. And he replied, go out into the darkness and put your hand in the hand of God. That shall be to you better than light and safer than a known way. So I went forth, and finding the hand of God, trod gladly into the night. And he led me toward the hills in the breaking of the day in the lone east. Sometimes when we have the unknown stretching out before us, what we really want is a light, but what we really need is to put our hand in the hand of God so that He will guide us through what's coming our way. I don't know what this year has in store, but I know if we walk through it holding the hand of God, He'll guide us where we need to go. If you need to step out in faith this morning, if you need to put Christ on in baptism, in a very real way, by becoming a Christian, by turning your life around and confessing Jesus as Lord, when you put Christ on in baptism, you're holding on to His hand to guide you through life. It may be that you need prayers. If you'd like to pray with a couple of our elders, our shepherds here, right after our service, you can go out that doorway. There'll be a couple of elders who'd love to talk with you and pray for you. Or it may be that you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, and you want to make that known before all of us. If there's any way that we can help you, let's all leave here determined to walk by faith. If we can help you, please come as we stand and sing together.